Bibles of Proverbs 8:32, and I do want you to know that I have a request, and this is going to have to come from our group if it's going to come from anyone, and that is we seriously need a bus captain, and someone that has a heart for children, someone that truly loves them. We are getting ready to start our Sunday night program up again, and so that means those kids will come from the morning, come at night. It's a challenge. You may say, that's not something for me. Let me tell you, when they asked me to be the team leader, I told them I was too old. And the Lord told me that I was not too old. And sometimes I disagree when I have my aches and pains, but the Lord knows what He's doing. So don't rob yourself of a blessing, because that's what you'd be doing if that's what the Lord calls you to do. You'll be robbing yourself of a blessing. Proverbs 8:32-36. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, watching at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all that hate me love death. And as I prepared this message here for our school a couple of weeks ago, I gave it a lot of thought, and I kind of broke it down in their own verses. And so that's how I'm going to teach it tonight. So verse 32, it tells us, now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep his ways. So hearken means we are to listen. That's what it means. We are to listen. Not just hear, but to listen. There's a difference between hearing and listening. You can hear noise all day long, but do you listen to the words that someone tells you? Or do you make them noise and just ignore them? To be blessed as we obey and keep God's way. You want to be blessed? Are you going to hear? Are you going to hear God's way? Or is it going to be your way? We must be diligent hearers of the word, listening with not only our ears, but with our heart. What has God got to say to you? And what do you have that's so important in your life that you're not listening? Is there anything more important going on than hearing God's word? And for how can we believe in him of whom we have not heard? You think, well, I've heard. But did you really hear? Because let me tell you something. I had been told many times of Jesus as a young boy. I'm sure of that. You know why I'm sure of that? Because when I was a young man, I was went to vacation Bible schools. Yeah, I went to vacation Bible schools when I was a young person, although I was Catholic. I attended a Christian youth program at a local playground, run by missionaries, a Baptist place. And I'm sure they preached the word there, but I didn't hear it. I don't think they ignored it. I know that I did. And even as a young boy, before I could eat breakfast at my brother's house, I had to do my devotions. No devotions, no breakfast. That's it. That's just how plain he was. And as you can tell, I didn't miss very many meals. But I didn't do my devotions. I just read the book. I did not read the Bible. I considered it a book. Sad that I would do that. Parents, are you listening to me today? Watch your children. What are they doing? But more important, parents, what are you doing? Are you listening? Are you going to apply this to your heart? Are you going, adults, are you going to just let that slip by? Oh, well, I do my devotions. I float through them. You know, Being here at the school all day long, I get a lot of time to get into God's Word. It's just part of the job that comes with the territory. And I really like that. I have to prepare for two devotionals a week, for preaching, maybe once a month. And then I gotta work with these young people. And Bronson, he must think I'm the holiest guy in the church, because every time he happens to walk, and this is how the Lord has it. This is not Mr. Mendez being a holy guy. Every time he walks into my office, I'm looking at my Bible, or I have it up on my computer. The Lord just times that. It's nothing that I know. I look around the corner and see if Bronson's coming or anything. No, I don't do that. That's just what I do during the day. Or I may be preparing a Sunday school lesson or something, but he just happens to walk in at the right time. So I am impressing it on him. Devotions are important. They're important in my life. They've not always been important in my life, but they are now. Even more so. Do you read the word, written word? Do you sit under good preaching? Well, if you come to Vision Baptist Church, you're under good preaching. That's just what it is here. There's no fake here. Pastor does an excellent job of bringing the word, and Mr. Hickson does a good job of bringing it in Sunday school. And I think our Sunday school teachers do a good job of presenting it in the classrooms. We pray before our Sunday school starts for a reason, and it's that we do things under God's direction, not under our own direction. Many times I pray the Lord to lead me to do it His way, not my way. And so, do you read the written word? Do you bless God for both and hear Him in both ways as He speaks to you? I don't know about you, but I know when God speaks to me. No, it doesn't come in an audible voice, or it doesn't come over a telephone call. But I know when He's speaking to me. I know when He's leading me. I know the direction He's giving me. And why is that? Because I listen. Have I always listened? No. But I listen now. Much more. Much more. Do you know the God of wisdom? Because if you want wisdom, He'll give it to you. You want comfort, He'll give you comfort. You want peace, He'll give you peace, because He is the God of all of that. And you can say, well, Mr. Mendez, that's easy to speak, a lot harder to live. Yes, because most times when we make it hard on ourselves, we're the ones in control. And sad to say, yes, I've been there, done that, been in control, told the Lord, I know what I'm doing. Just let me do it. I can do it. And I'm sure He has a good time laughing at me. Do you want to be blessed, or do you think you know better? Parents, I know you can agree with me on this. When your young people look at you and says, why do we have to do that? Because they think they know better. We're no different. We're God's children. Sometimes we thumb our nose at them and say, we know better. You know, I like to tell my Sunday school class, you go tell God He doesn't know what He's doing. I'm not going to do Him. But when you do it, please stand away from me so when He strikes a lightning bolt, it don't hit me by accident. Because that's what you do when you don't do your devotions. That's what you do when you skip prayer meeting. That's what happens when you don't come to church. You're telling God, I know better. Oh yeah, I'm in control of this thing. I am driving this bus and I know what I'm doing. I was 19 years old when I was saved, and I was sure that I knew better before I was saved. And I didn't need God. I used to tell myself, when I get to be an old person, I'm going to get saved. Because then I would have had all the fun in the world. What a fool I was. What a fool I was. It's foolish to think that way. So let me ask you a question. Does your life reflect that you listen? Can people see Jesus Christ in you? Can they come to you in a time of need and say, I need to talk? Can they come to you and say, will you pray for me? And then expect you to pray for me. You know, that's very easy to tell folks, I'm going to pray for you. It's much harder sitting down and praying for them. How many times have you done it? I know I've done it numerous times. I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you, sister. and walked away and forgot all about it. And then they'll thank me a week later for praying for them because the Lord worked it out. The Lord worked it out in spite of my prayers because I didn't pray. Don't promise someone you'll pray for them if you're not going to pray for them. It's better you tell them that your prayers are no good because you're not going to pray for them anyway. So does your life reflect that you listen? Verse 33 says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. You will hear your pastor tell you, hear instruction and refuse it not. I don't know how many times pastor has given us counsel on that. And lately he's been giving me a lot of counsel about missing church. But you know, even more so, it's coming to church and not having the right attitude. I am here because I have to be here. I'm here because my parents make me come here. Or I'm here because someone's going to say something bad about me if I don't show up. I want to be here because I'm coming here to honor and worship my Lord. It really doesn't matter what anybody else says about me. You may say to yourself, I don't need that. Or even worse, I don't like that. I don't like it when pastor tells me something that I don't want to stop doing. I enjoy what I'm doing. Why do I have to change? You know, sometimes people will tell you, I feel like pastor's peeking in my window. No, that's God peeking in your window, convicting you of your wrong. I had a young man a few years back, and we were doing some work project, and he kept looking at me, kept looking at me. And finally, I says, hey, Reuben, what's wrong? And he says, you're judging me. I said, I'm what? He says, you're judging me. You know what I did last night? I'm looking at him like, okay. How am I supposed to know that? He says, I don't know how you know that, but I did something wrong last night. And I said, I really don't want to know about it, but let's go in this room and let's pray together. The Holy Ghost was convicting him. I don't know what he's seen me as, but I'm glad God was able to use me. Because I had no idea of what he did the night before. Still don't know what he did the night before. Really don't care what he did the night before. Wasn't important to me, but I wanted to pray for him. Remember this. It is offered to you as a warning, but not only as a warning, but as a kindness. And it is at your danger if you refuse it. When pastor says, hear instruction and refuse it not. Sometimes a warning is a kind act. Well, how can a warning be a kind act, Mr. Mendez, when that child is going to run out in the street and you tell him, grab him, and you warn him not to run out of the street before that truck runs him over? Why not just let him run out in front of the truck? After all, you don't want to be unkind, do you? No, God warns us about things, and he doesn't want us to get in danger, and sometimes we do it anyway. Will you miss church so you don't have to hear instruction? Oh, I don't need to go Sunday night. After all, he's just going to preach about something I really don't want to know. I don't need that instruction. I'm doing just fine without it. My father would tell me, and my father was an unsaved man, listen to good advice and disregard bad advice. My question was always, what is good and what is bad? I didn't know. Remember, I wasn't 19 yet. I was still a young man, 15, 16 years old. He said, listen to good advice and disregard the bad advice. Okay, what's good and what's bad? And it was a time of teaching, and he was trying to teach me that I had to listen. But my father didn't know that there was a God that he could trust that would only give him the very best. If I want to know, I go to my Bible. That's how I get good advice. I can go to my Bible. Get great advice. You know, the world has some sound advice, but it also has a lot of bad advice. So people argue with you. Yeah, it's not all bad. They may be right. They may teach me how to save money, or they may teach me how to do something. They can't teach me how to live. I remember a friend of mine that would tell me, you're wasting your money sending your kids to Christian school. It's a waste of money. Save that money, put it in a bank account, And when they get to be 21, they'll have $1,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 or $100,000 in the bank, and they'll be set right off on the right path for life. And so what if they're drug addicts and they're going to prison? What good is that going to do me? And he would say, oh, no, it doesn't work that way. Well, I can look out in the world and I can see how it works. We must be willing to listen with a willing and submissive heart to the truth that only God could provide through his word. If you're not willing to listen with a submissive heart, if you say, Lord, don't go to him and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. And then when he shows you, oh, no, Lord, that's too hard. Really don't want to go there. That's way too. You want me to go to church how many times a week? You want me to knock on how many doors a week? Oh, that's hard. You want me to tell someone about Jesus? Do you know how embarrassing that is? I don't think it's embarrassing at all. I think that if you would do it, God would give you the boldness to do it with. Those that reject the counsel of God reject it against themselves. And Luke 7:30 says, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Once again, the Pharisees and the lawyers refuse to listen. Will you be a Pharisee? Will you be a lawyer? Will you say, I don't need to listen. I don't want to listen. I don't care to listen. Can I have a Kleenex? Someone have a Kleenex, sir. My nose is, you know, the devil is attacking. He's going to make my nose run a little bit. But that's okay. I can live with a runny nose. Or will you be an obedient child of the Lord and listen? You know, the Pharisees were intelligent people. They knew their Bible or what they had of it. And they thought they could get away with it. Verse 34. And it says, blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily, waiting at the post of my doors. Constantly, and with an attentive ear. That's how you should come to church. That's how you should do your devotions. That's how you should start your day. With an attentive ear. What has God got for me today? What is he going to teach me? What is he going to lead me to do? We must watch daily as a patient waiting for advice. I don't know about you, but when I go to the doctor, I go to the doctor to hear his advice on what's wrong with me. I don't go there and try to tell him how to treat me or tell him what to do or what not to do. Now, I may know something about a little bit about something that we're doing, and I may ask him questions, but I surely don't go there and tell him what to do. But listen carefully to what he has to say. That's how you ought to go to the Lord. Listen patiently to him. I tell people, there's something that Pastor taught me. You get your heart right first. And I tell people, go pray in the corner for an hour. See what the Lord has to say to you. I was talking to a friend today, and he says, where do you get that advice from? And he's an old friend of mine, and he calls me Chendo. Everybody that knows me from a long time ago calls me Chendo. He said, Chendo, where did you learn that from? And he was really impressed with it. And that's how I heard it at church. You'll start your day with a clean heart. And that's why we did this today before our services, because I wanted your heart to be ready. I wanted you to hear. We are to wait on the Lord as we read his word to see what wisdom it has for us. Not to go out and decide what we want to do, or decide that, hey, I got to read 3 chapters a day, so I better get with it. No. A devotion can be one verse long. It can be a half a verse, if that's what the Lord asks for you, but learn it right. Learn it good and apply it. We have a good church that teaches godly principles based on God's word, but you must hear and then obey. Doesn't do you much good to hear and then not do anything about it. It's kind of like, don't cross the street, the traffic's heavy. Well, you heard it, but you cross anyway. I think the truck is going to run you over. Oh, I didn't know that's what you meant. When God's word tells you not to do things, you don't do them. You just don't do them. We must lay hold on all the opportunities of getting knowledge and grace, and must get into and keep in a constant, settled course of communication with God. That means when the doors are open, when someone invites you to their house because they want to help you or you want to help them, do it. Take advantage of those opportunities. And then plan to meet with God so you don't miss out. You know, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. Oh, Mr. Brenners, I can't do my devotions because I just don't know. I just don't know. And I had this conversation. Isn't your Bible on your phone? Oh, yeah, it's on my phone. So why couldn't you read it? Oh, forgot. You know why they forgot? Because they don't use their phone for their Bible reading. It just looks good on there. That way when their parents look at their phone, they say, oh, mijito, he does it good. He has a Bible in there. A Bible in his phone. I'm not saying that he doesn't have 15 other games, but he has a Bible in there. Doing great. So plan to meet with God. Plan to meet with God. Know that God wants to meet with you. He does. You don't want to miss out on any truths. Don't let the world take your interest and time away from God. Read your Bible. Let's look at 1 John 2:15, if you will. 1 John 2:15. And we're going to read 2:15 through 2:17. Give you a second to get there. Don't let the world take your interest. Don't be so worried about the world has that you have to always have part of the world. The world's got nothing to offer you. So verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to stay separated from the world. Yeah, you're not supposed to be part of it. You live in it. You don't have to be part of it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I didn't plan to use this, but last night when I was talking to Dan, he really wasn't concerned about who was going to win the Super Bowl. He was concerned about who he is going to get to witness to next, because he knows his life is very, very short. And we think we have forever. Yeah, I'm 66 years old, and I think, well, I got to have another 15, 20 years in me. Maybe I have 15 minutes. I don't know. So I should live like I have 15 minutes. Young people, I've seen young people die. I have. 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds. My little brother died when I was 5 and he was 7. No, he was 6 and I was 4. Don't tell me death can't strike you when you're young. It can. It can. I really appreciate what God has taught me through the preaching here at Vision. I've made it a real point to listen very closely when pastor's preaching. Not because it's pastor preaching, but because whose word he's preaching and what he's trying to teach me. And I know when he gave us a devotion in our teachers' meeting, and he talked about they had just crossed the Red Sea, and they just got fed quail, and they just got fed manna, and they still struggle. And then the Bible says, because they believe not. Will you be one of those that will believe not? Well, I'm having trouble with my kids. I can't do nothing about it. Have you trusted God? I'm having trouble in my home. Have you trusted God? I just can't get that, brother. I just cannot go out door knocking because I'm just scared to. Have you trusted God for that? Oh, I can't be a bus captain. Those kids are just too rotten. Have you trusted God? Yeah, you can't do it. I'll be honest with you, you can't do it. But when you get out of the way and you let God do it through you, then you will be able to do it. And that's the only time you're going to be able to do it. Because if you do it through your own strength, it'll matter nothing. It won't mean nothing. So I really appreciate what God is teaching me here at Vision. I try to be here at all the services. I encourage you to be here. Just a good place to be at. And then verse 35, for whosoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And so I did this with all happiness. All the good which I need or can desire can be found in Jesus. I truly believe that. I don't need the world. I don't need a fancy house. I don't need a fancy car. I don't need none of that. I can find everything I need in Jesus. This is true living. You know, the world's going to teach you how to make a living, but Christ is going to show you how to live. So if he's going to show me how to live, I'm going to have a living. I don't have to be worried about that. He that obtains favor in the Lord and is in his favor is life. If the king's favor is towards a wise son, much more than the favor of the King of Kings, Christ is life to all believers. But you have to be a believer. Are you playing fake? I know that, again, I didn't know that I'd have this to use in my message today. But Dan said he was a fake Christian, a make-believe, playing a Christian for 20-some years. But you know, today, if he's to die, he can go to heaven because he's no longer playing a fake Christian. He's trusted in that Christ. I don't know how many of you knew Dad last year before he got saved, but you couldn't tell that he wasn't a Christian. He said the right things. He did the right things. So are you faking? Are you in here today and don't know whether you are saved or not? He that has the Son of God has life, eternal life, and he shall obtain favor of the Lord, who is well pleased with all those with Christ. You want to please your God? That's how you please him. Nor can we obtain God's favor unless we find Jesus Christ and be found in him. When God looks at you, do you want him to see a dirty, filthy sinner? Or do you want him to see Jesus Christ saying, this is my son. He's one of us. Who do you want him to see? And who are you really? John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is true life for an eternity. You will spend eternity somewhere. It'll either be heaven or it'll be hell. You know that thought of Pastor last Sunday when he talked about if he could open a hole and you could look down into hell? I think it would scare people. But I don't think they would listen. Because, you know, when they seen Lazarus' arms, the beggar in Lazarus' arms, they didn't. He told them, it's not going to make a difference, rich man. No matter if the dead go see your brethren, it's not going to make a difference. They're not going to believe. The world will tell you that you have to enjoy the moment of pleasure. Because that's all sin is a moment. When you look at eternity, it's just a moment. God will not only give us a moment of pleasure, but an eternity of really living in Christ, having joy. I believe that everyone in this room has sung, there is joy in serving Jesus. Have we not? Have we not sung, there is joy in serving Jesus? But do you believe it? Are you serving him? Then live it. If you believe there's joy in him, then why aren't you doing it? And then verse 36, it says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Doom will pass upon all those that reject wisdom, and they will face an eternity in hell. Give that some thought. All those that reject him. And doesn't the world reject him? How many times do you have to turn on your TV to see what they tell you about your Christ? The value they put on Christian living. The value they put on going to church. Zero. None. You're wasting your time. But they will spend an eternity somewhere. And when they get there, it'll be too late. Because I'm going to tell you something. Christ doesn't send them there. They send themselves there. By refusing wisdom. The unpardonable sin. So here's a charge. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a charge. We've all sinned. We've all come short. But here's a hope. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is wrong to the soul. So when you sin, you're wronging your own soul. Those that are at variance or at odds with Christ are in love with their own ruin. You know, that's the biggest problem that non-Christians have, is it's all about them. It isn't about their fellow man. It's all about them. I've got mine, and that's good enough. But I'm going to tell you, that's the truth of some Christians too. I've got mine, and no, I'm not going soul winning. And no, I am not going to church. I've got mine. And so that's good enough. I'm going to heaven. Really don't care where the rest of you go. I don't think that's what God has for us. They're looking at, for the wrath of God abideth. So my question is, will you love death? And death, what is death? Death is separation from God for an eternity. If there's anybody in here that has not trusted Christ, what will you do? Will you love death? Separation from God? That's not just physical death. That's separation from God for an eternity. Or will you accept his gift of eternal life? And then this is for the Christian. We have a message to this dying, sinful world. Jesus saves. And in 1 Peter 3:15, the second part of it says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How many times have people asked you, you're different. What is your remedy? What are you doing that's special? Why are you different? Or maybe they don't ask you that because there is no difference. Why are you knocking on my door? What are you selling? We're not selling anything. When I knock on somebody's door, I'm trying to throw them out that life ring. I don't want them to go to hell. My God says I'm supposed to go out there and tell them about it. So how are we doing it? Will you be faithful to tell them? Oh, Brother Mendez, that's awful hard. You know, those snotty little kids on the bus, they have head lice. I really don't want to hang out with them. Would you rather they spend an eternity in hell? I'd much rather catch head lice. Let me tell you folks something. I've been working with young kids for a long time, over 40 years. You know what? I've never had head lice. And Mrs. Mendez has seen me hugging a little bus kid when we used to work at another church. And she says, that kid has head lice. The kid's leaning on me. I've never had head lice. Praise the Lord. He protected me. But will you be faithful? There's a dying world out there. And yet, when we have visitation, two people show up, three people show up. We got door hangers that got to go out. Okay, I'm not very good at talking to people, Mr. Mendez. Well, take the door hangers and don't hurry up to the steps, put a door hanger on there and move on. Hope that they don't catch you. Because then if they catch you, you're going to have to answer why you're putting a door hanger on their door. And maybe you're going to have to explain what you're doing. What a great opportunity that would be. Then you would have to have the boldness. But it's not you that would have the boldness. It will be given to you. Who cares if the dogs are out there? They'll be out there. They're going to stay out there. Who cares? God's going to protect you. God's going to take care of you. But will you be faithful? I'm talking to the Christian now. If there's someone here that's not saved, I want them to come up and see me before they leave tonight. I really do. I want to help them. I don't want to embarrass them. I don't want to criticize them. I want to help them. And if you're here tonight and you're ready to make a commitment to step forward, you talk to your God and you tell him, I'm ready to do it, and then do it. Don't put it off for tomorrow. Because if you put it off for tomorrow, it ain't going to happen. You know, Mexicans are supposed to be famous for saying mañana, mañana. No, there is no mañana. It's today. Today is the day, not tomorrow. Don't put it off. Don't wonder how you're going to do it. You get on your knees and you pray and you tell God, you show me how to do it. The God of wisdom. But you got to listen. You'll never hear if you don't listen. No, I don't mean just hearing the noise. I mean listen. There's a difference. And you need to get your heart right. I challenge you that every morning you get up and you tell the Lord, I want to get my heart right. I want to start. And during the day sometimes you say, Lord, search my heart. What did I do wrong today? And you will be so much better for it. You will be so blessed by it. You know, it feels great when visitors come and they don't come by accident. They get prayed in. Are you praying them in? Are you letting Mr. Dahlman and Brother Hickson back there pray them in for you? Are you doing your part? Are you knocking on the door so someone can come to know your Savior? Or are you just saying, well, they'll come. Somebody at the church will do it. It'll happen. Okay, yeah, and you're right. Someone at the church will do it. But that could be you. I like to tease the kids in Sunday school and tell them, boy, I'm going to have a lot of crowns to throw up there. But you know, it's not going to matter how many crowns, whether I have 1 or 100. Really, it's not. I'm going to be happy just to be there. If I got 0 crowns, I'd be happy just to be there. So I really don't do this to get crowns, but that's a reward of it. God promised me I'm going to get crowns, so I'm going to get them, and that's okay. I'm going to have fun tossing those crowns. But will you have fun tossing them? Are you going to take God up on his word? Are you going to accept his challenge? Come all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Oh, I'm always tired. That's because you're not resting in the right place. Let's pray.